the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, we're back for the next installment of the Mississippi Rice Podcast, live from Omaha. No, I'm just kidding. We're sitting in the office this morning. Like always, I've got Dr. Jason Bond with me. We wish we were in Omaha, but...
You know, with it raining and then playing at 10 o'clock...
It's going to be a bad day.
I'm not going to say nobody's going to be working, but I don't know how much work is going to go on in the middle of the day.
The question is, are they really going to play at 10 o'clock, or is it going to rain in Omaha again?
Well, it's been raining every day. That was a heck of a rain they had yesterday. I mean, that thing just hung and hung and hung. I'm glad I wasn't that pitcher.
Yeah, I was talking to Lindsay Bell, my extension associate. She's up in Omaha right now, and she's like, we've been sitting under a tent waiting for the rain to clear, and we're not even going to play baseball today. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we got a lot of things to talk about today, and I guess first thing, over the last 3 weeks, Jason and I have been talking about Loyant, the new rice herbicide from Corteva. Is that right, Jason?
Corteva AgriSciences. It's no longer AgroSciences either.
Formerly known as Dow AgriSciences.
Correct.
And we've talked a lot about tolerance, efficacy, use patterns, what it's good at, what it's not, and had pretty glowing reviews from it. But now it seems the tide has turned just a little bit.
Well, I would say over the last 10 days, there's been a couple things, you know, that have come up. One has definitely been tolerance. Now, you and I were talking earlier this morning. I don't feel like we've seen that to the degree that we hear it's happening in some of the other states. You know, there's definitely a law of averages at play there with acres treated. We've had some concerns, but, you know, we basically did a whole episode on variety tolerance to Loyant, and I don't know that we're seeing anything all that different in the real world than what we've seen in our test over the last few years, with the exception of, have we ever put it out under the temperatures that it's going out over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, and I think that temperature issue could have a lot to do with it. You know, over the course of the last week, we've looked at one tolerance issue, which I would say probably the first tolerance issue in the state of Mississippi that really concerned me. And I know we've made a lot of applications, but what my phone has rung off the hook about the last week, and I know yours has too, is more efficacy issues. So it seemed like the first round of spraying we did with Loyant in the state of Mississippi, everything worked well. It was the best chemical known to man. You heard we talked a lot about the great efficacy we were getting. Now we moved to the second round of spraying with that chemical, and it seems like we've lost some efficacy. Can you talk about some of the phone calls you've got with that?
Well, they're there, definitely, and it seems to be grass. Not getting a lot of questions about broadleaf efficacy. It seems to be mainly on grass, and we're seeing it in our plots as well. Not seeing quite the level of control that we have in previous years. I think coverage is an issue at times for us in our plots, just with our weed density, and then having grass and broadleaves in the same plots, you know, that complicates things. But out in the real world, you know, there are questions and even concerns about the level of control. But then what are you comparing it with? If it's the first time you've used it, you're really just comparing it to an expectation.
That's right. And high expectations are, you know, in a first year release, what do you think? So, you know, you're comparing it, I guess, to that first round of spraying that happened in really a different environmental condition than the second round of spraying. Because most of the calls I've got this week have said, all right, if I'm following New Path or I'm tank mixing with New Path, we just feel like we've lost some efficacy on the backside. Well, did we lose efficacy because we were spraying already sick barnyard grass, or have we lost efficacy because we're probably making that application on dry ground?
And man, you know, what you just said a mouthful, Bobby, but spraying sick grass, I mean, you know, you could do an infinite amount of work on that and never figure that out. I mean, that's a dynamic that's really hard to track down. You know, a week or two ago in one of the episodes that we did with Loyant, We talked about some unanswered questions that we had. You know, we mentioned surfactant. We mentioned a couple other things. But another thing that we don't know is, well, let me step back one step. We know that we need to get water on the field as quickly as possible for maximum efficacy. I mean, I think that's been verified over and over again. What we don't know is, do we need to spray it on wet ground? A lot of our other rice herbicides, you know, they need to go on wet ground. So when it's hot, when it's dry, are we not seeing the level of control that we expect because we're spraying it on dry ground, because we need to put it out with a ground rig, you know, to kind of give us a comfort level with the off-target movement, you know, from aerial applications?
Well, you know, I heard from some aerial applicators the other day that they felt comfortable again putting it out. So maybe we'll get to see that. I know I was talking to some guys that said they made some tweaks on their systems and they feel a little comfortable. That wet ground issue has always plagued us as a rice society, because most of our herbicides do work better when we have adequate soil moisture or an abundance of soil moisture. Is that correct?
Oh, for sure. You know, you think some of the ones that are obvious, you know, clincher, you know, we know that clincher works much better on a wet, even a sloppy wet soil than it does on dry ground. And then some of the other, your more contact herbicides are not as sensitive to moisture as something, you know, extreme like clincher. But in our small plot work, because we have so many plots in one field, it's rare that we put treatments out in extreme conditions, because, you know, we're managing a lot of different tests that have different objectives. So I couldn't say, you know, in the years that we've worked with it, where we've put it really in a situation where it was, you know, too dry, or what you would expect to be too dry.
That's right. And, you know, following protocols, put this out, let's flood up within 72 hours.
We can
that.
Flood up within 6 hours if
we wanted to.
Right. Yes. I mean, it's a little bitty field. It's 3 acres. Come on.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at today with Loyne in Mississippi. I know that a lot of guys have seen a lot of things on social media. There's a lot of stuff going around. Even from what I've seen, I gathered to say, you know, the tolerance issues they may be having on the other side of the river aren't as bad in Mississippi.
Well, we don't have evidence of that on our side of the river, but then again, I think law of averages is playing into it with acres treated, and then too, it's just a different culture, man. I mean, the rice culture, the rice management's different, the applications are different. It's not apples and oranges.
Blood timing's different.
Yeah, it's just managed differently. So I don't really like to get into comparisons there. But no, we haven't seen an unusual level of concern with tolerance to Loyne as of today.
And just to wrap that back around, because we've got all the calls about the efficacy issues, and I know you talk with a lot of our weed science counterparts in Arkansas and Louisiana, what have they been saying about efficacy issues in their states?
It's happening there too, you know, to a lesser degree in Louisiana, with the bulk of the rice in Louisiana being in South Louisiana.
They're almost headed right now.
Well, or they are. You know, there'll be some rice come off down there, you know, within the next few weeks in areas. And then, you know, definitely a large chunk of rice in northeast Louisiana, which more closely reflects, you know, production for us. So there for sure. And then, you know, talking to the guys in Arkansas, they've definitely been chasing some concerns with efficacy, just like we have.
Well, unfortunately, these efficacy problems and other issues have come up with Loyne at a point in the season that we can't readily run out there and put a test out and try to solve this issue. But guys, we're going to get on this next year and hopefully, you know, get some data to what Jason said about, do we spray wet ground, do we spray dry ground, to try to solve some of these issues for
you. And as I mentioned this in another episode too, Bobby, we've got a lot of plots out, you know, with Loyne mixture. So I'm sure there's some data in there that we have collected that we just haven't seen it yet, you know, on a printout to know that, hey, this really applies to what we saw in 2018 in the field.
So we may have a better idea of what's going on when we get that data and in our fall meetings this year.
Definitely.
Okay. All right, Jason. So bringing this thing full circle, we're about 2 weeks after the flood. We've killed most all, if not all, of our broadleaf weeds, either with the herbicide application or the flood water. But we've got some big grasses out there that we've talked about we've missed. So how do we go about addressing those big grasses we've missed for one reason or another?
All right. Big grass in the flood, controlling with a herbicide, I mean, that's just a salvage application. There's no way to sugarcoat that.
You know, and I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, you know, some of this grass might be starting ahead, some of it's not.
And then you talk about grass, big grass in the flood that's reproductive, and that's another, you know, complicating factor that there's no way to control for. So, you know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, grass that survives another treatment, and just in general, that stuff is much harder to control. So you take a treatment like clincher. I usually say, you know, we put clincher in the worst possible situation because, one, we often spray clincher after the flood, and then we spray clincher on grass that survives something else.
And most of the times in Mississippi, clincher is the last product on the acre.
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate situation to put, you know, any herbicide into. So our options, you know, clincher would be one of those options. So the things you have to consider are the rice growth stage, and you mentioned, you know, we're about 2 weeks after flood, so growth stage at this point, you know, we're approaching the beginning of reproductive growth in our rice. So rice size, how dense is the canopy? Can we get coverage on the grass that's there? And then are we going to have to drop the water in order to get coverage on that grass?
Yeah, and nobody really wants to drop the water at this time of year, especially on those big fields. It's really hard to pump back up. It just kind of messes your mojo up at this point.
Well, and the temperatures, you know, it's increasingly difficult to get them flooded back up just because we're losing so much. The rice is growing really fast. It's taking up a lot of water, and then we're, you know, evaporating a lot from the water surface too.
So if you had to sit here today and make a recommendation to me, I know I don't like to ask for blanket recommendations, but what's your go-to big grass sight unseen in the flood?
Well, there's a group of choices. And so I mentioned, you know, rice growth stage, you got to consider, you know, how dense the canopy is. Those are things that, you know, you got to go lay your eyes on to know what you're dealing with. And then the other aspect of a salvage treatment is the labeled herbicide timing, and they're not all created equal.
And so, most of those that we would be spraying at this time of year have a pre-harvest interval instead of a crop growth stage cutoff. Am I correct?
It depends. So clincher, yes. Rebel X, which is a combination of clincher and grasp, those are both 60-day pre-harvest intervals. So, you know, you imagine your targeted harvest interval and subtract 60 days, and, you know, that's the cutoff you need to be in the neighborhood for. All right, Facet is probably, for grass control, is probably the most forgiving. It's a 40-day pre-harvest interval. Then transition over to a product like Regiment. All right, Regiment's really good on big grass. You know, I think if you just compare herbicides on efficacy, Regiment is as good or better than any of them on big grass. Cutoff for Regiment's joint. So, you know, that's much more restricted than the others.
And I would say most of the rice that we've been getting called about, and most of the rice in the state of Mississippi right now, the joint's either about to move at Green Ring or is moving right
now. We're right at it in most fields you see driving around. And then, you know, another one would be Beyond on Clearfield rice. And that one varies depending on whether you're putting it on a hybrid or an inbred variety. So there are some other things that you have to consider other than what's the best treatment.
So depending on how far you're along, you might not be able to use what you would consider the best treatment because of crop growth stage.
Right. I mean, it's more, there's more to it than strictly efficacy. So the group that you have to choose from is clincher plus or Rebel X or Facet or Regiment Beyond if it's a little earlier. So that's the group to choose from. I don't know that I can say on really big grass one's better than the other. Facet, you know, we have a lot of history with Facet, late applications of Facet And, you know, so that's the one that garners a lot of attention on the really late applications. You know, clincher, we think of it week 10 days after flood, and then beyond that, it would be facet.
All right, guys, that's about all the time we have for today. I promise you that the next episode we deliver will be something different than Loyant. I'm sorry that we've kind of belated that, but it's a new thing. It's on everybody's mind.
Well, I think we wrap back on some fertility stuff coming up. I mean, that's,
yeah, we're getting close to mid-season. Nitrogen applications are making the first on a lot of acreage, the second on some acreage. So we'll probably get into that next week. But listen, if you like what you're hearing, give us some positive feedback to let us know if we're going in the right direction.
Hey, and like always, if you've got a problem, give us a call, and we'll get to you just as soon as we can.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.